I would have to say that Ecclesiastes is definitely not one of my favourite Old Testament books. That's one of those things. You agree, Jim? And because of that, it's not one of the books that I turn to very often. When I think of it, it is usually in connection with a funeral. When parts of chapter 12 are read. You might have recognised that when I read them. Remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come? How many of you have been at a funeral and heard that read? A few of you? If the Masons, of course, have a particular part from Ecclesiastes. They always read their ode, and then they put the little sprig, and that's from Ecclesiastes. Sometimes I remember Ecclesiastes when I hear that old Peter, Paul and Mary song, which is based on chapter 3. You know that one? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven and so on. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up. I think of it when I hear the expression, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. So I said the NIV has meaningless there. Or, there is nothing new under the sun. That comes from Ecclesiastes. In fact, they talk a lot about being under the sun. I'm meant to be encouraged in my preaching often by verse 1 of chapter 11, which says, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. And quite often I've used parts of chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, as a basis for a marriage talk, where it talks about two are better than one. And then at the end of the chapter, it talks about a cord of three strands, bringing in the presence of God, is not easily broken. But other than those times, I guess I tend to pass Ecclesiastes by. I see it more as about man rather than about God, and it's more man's viewpoint than God's viewpoint, which is listed there. And it's quite negative, too, in its basic makeup. Yet, in fact, it is that emphasis within the book of Ecclesiastes that makes it a valuable part of the Bible. For it shows that when you look at life from a purely human standpoint, it really doesn't make much sense. If you take God out of life, then what is the meaning? Why are we here? To live and die, and that's it? It doesn't really seem to make any sense at all. And that is what Ecclesiastes teaches us. In Ecclesiastes, you have this fellow called the preacher or the teacher. It's a word which means the one who stands up in front of the assembly and speaks. So therefore you get this term, preacher. Verse 1 tells us that he is one of King David's son, and he is Solomon. Solomon, that one who was given this tremendous gift of wisdom. And it seems in Ecclesiastes that what Solomon has done, he's devoted his wisdom to trying to work out how a person can find contentment, happiness, and meaning in this life. He first tried through the pathway of wisdom. He thought if he could learn lots of stuff, then he would find meaning and contentment. But he found out that the more he knew, the more depressed and unhappy he actually became. If you are old enough to know the Hogan's Heroes film story, you know, but it's about that German prisoner of war camp. It's an American comedy. And there's that character in it called Schultz. And he's the German. And what's his favourite expression? I know nothing. That's the one. And he finds that actually to have knowledge is a painful thing. So he prefers not to have any knowledge. On a more serious note, I think back to September the 11th, the terrorist attack on the two towers. What happened when they attacked the towers was that it flooded our airways, didn't it? For about, it must have been close to a week. That's all you heard about. People's views on this, people's views on that. Every time you turn on the telly, there's the same pictures there and all. And after a while, I found I was getting so much knowledge, and there was no mention of God, naturally, it's the media. or his purpose, or what, that God was still in control, that the more knowledge I got, I would find I was getting more agitated, more sad, depressed. In the end, I didn't want to watch TV anymore, because that's all I was seeing. And that's what happens so often with knowledge, isn't it? You get to a point where the more knowledge you got, as Solomon said, the more depressed you are. Whether it's you depressed because you suddenly decide that you know so much, but you still don't know everything. And there's still great holes, whatever it is. So he went from looking for it in wisdom. He said, well, that's no good. So he went into great projects, and he had these great projects. You remember, if you read about the projects of Solomon, they are fantastic. His architecture, his building of buildings, his great stables that he had with all his huge horses. And he went into these great projects as a way to find meaning and contentment in life. But he found that after a while they just got old and forgotten or pulled down or something else was better. It didn't really give him much contentment either. So then he tried pleasure. He tried women. Did he ever try women? So many wives and concubines that Solomon had. He tried wine. He tried the accruing of great wealth. He became one of the richest persons. And the Queen Sheba came to see him and said, the half has not been told about this man. He gained great material acquisitions. And he missed some happiness at the time, but it wasn't lasting. It was just, in the end, just meaningless. Then he started to look around him. And he saw that whether a person was good or bad, their end was finally the same. It was death. And when they died, they both kind of met the same end. It was death. There was no end. There was no benefit in being good and no punishment in being bad. It was just death. Just no sense of justice. And that didn't make sense either. So as he began to look, and you find it when you read through the whole book of Ecclesiastes, and it is an interesting read, that nothing really seems to make sense. I read this in one little illustration I found. I thought this adds to what I've just told you from Ecclesiastes. It concerns Helen of Troy. In his book about the world's greatest archaeological discoveries, Doorways Through Time, Dr. Stephen Burtman devotes a chapter to the excavation at ancient Troy. He ends his section with these words about the famous beauty of Helen of Troy. Some of you may have seen the film recently. 1,000 years or more after the Trojan War, a Greek writer named Lucian wondered why so many men had given their lives in Helen's name. In a satirical dialogue, he made a dead philosopher named Menippus, who had newly arrived in Hades, ask the god Hermes for a guided tour. As Hermes pointed out the most distinguished residents of Hades, Menippus stood confused. All I see are bones and naked skulls, he said, and they all look alike. And yet, answered Hermes, those are what all the poets admire, the things you call bones and despise. Perhaps, agreed Menippus, but point Helen out to me. I can't find her myself. This skull, said Hermes, is Helen. Menippus stood there amazed. Was this the reason, he asked, why 1,000 ships were manned by men from all over Greece and Crete, and Trojan armies died, and cities were laid waste? Yes, Hermes said, but you didn't see the woman when she was alive, or even you would have understood why. For such a woman they suffered woe for so long. Flowers, when they are dried out and faded, look ugly, but when they are in bloom and have colour, are beautiful indeed. Granted, said Menippus, but didn't the Greeks know what a transient thing they were striving for and how soon its bloom would fade? And isn't that so true of life? And didn't the preacher in Ecclesiastes really get it right? So many people striving for so much in our world,
And what happens to it?
It will eventually fade and crumble and go, and so will they. And so the preacher, after all his searchings and all his experiences of life, he came to the conclusion that he ends his book with, and that's in chapter 12 and verses 13 to 14. He says, "Now all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." You see, he understood at the end that the only lasting thing in life, and the only thing in the end that counts, is your relationship with God. And if you have a good relationship with Almighty God, that's the best you can hope for. And if you have a bad relationship, well then, there's not much hope for you. For the preacher, of course, in Ecclesiastes, such a relationship depended upon keeping God's laws. That's what he says. And being accountable to a God of judgment. And possibly for Solomon, that was not a happy thought by this time. Because you see, it is said that Solomon wrote the Song of Songs when he was young. He wrote the book of Proverbs when he was in middle age. But he wrote Ecclesiastes when he was old. And of course, when Solomon was old, he had gone pretty well off the rails. He had gone to follow different things. He had gone after idols and other things. And many say that this book of Ecclesiastes is a book that expresses his own regret for all his folly, his carnality, his idolatry that so plagued the latter years of his reign. But for us, you see, it's all different, isn't it? Praise God. For us, a relationship with a loving, merciful God is possible through Jesus Christ. That we have a God who we can approach and call Father. That we can have a God who promises us that he can make all things new in our lives. Give us a clean slate. Forgive our sins, past, and even the sins of today, we can come to him for forgiveness through the sacrifice that had been offered on the cross of Calvary. How different that is. And how important it is that we find this God and that we have a relationship with him through Jesus, who is our sacrifice, who is our way to the Father. Very interesting, I put in your notes there that in Ecclesiastes, you get the expression under the sun as being life, life as it's lived. And some very wise and very intelligent character has gone through the Bible and has put a comparison between under the sun, S-U-N, and what it's like when your life is under the authority of the sun, S-O-N. What a difference it makes. You look down that lens and you'll find all the differences between life just living under the sun, life without God, and living under the authority of Jesus. What a difference it makes. See, to know Jesus Christ as a Saviour is to know the Good Shepherd, to know the one who gave his life that we might have life and have it fully in abundance, and to find in Jesus the purpose for living, to find we have meaning, to find that when we die it's not the end, but praise God, as Ray and Lil talk so often about, it is to be with the Lord in glory. And to know that what we do for the Lord now will last for eternity. There's purpose, there is meaning. And there is strength also that God gives to be what God wants us to be. Ecclesiastes begins a journey that everyone should take to look at the world and say, well, what really does it amount to? And he ends with the only one thing way it can make sense is there's a creator God who has made us and who we can relate to. But it's in the New Testament that we find the one who came to make that relationship true, Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship. We are God's work of art. Isn't that fantastic? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's the amazing thing about life in Christ. That God has made us and drawn us to himself and set us apart because he's got a plan for this world which includes me and includes you. And that's so different to Ecclesiastes. But Ecclesiastes points towards Christ who came to make life meaningful. Let's just stop and pray together. Father, we thank you for books in the Word of God that make us think, that make us look, that make us glorify you and realize how wonderful it is that we have Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you that we live in this age of grace. Lord, it also reminds us that there are still many people who are living in the foolishness, the vanity, the meaningless of Ecclesiastes, and who we need to go to and say, look, only God makes sense of life. Help us to do so by your Spirit. And as we pray today, we pray as a church today, as we pray for the lost, Lord, we pray that you will just show us a way forward, that through things like this Jesus DVD, we can help others to get those questions answered that they have, that they may find Christ for themselves. And in finding him, they find life abundant. We ask this in Jesus' name.